You want to turn in your Bible to Psalm 100, verse 5. And we'll get through this in the next few minutes, and we're going to have communion at the end. But I really felt God put this on my heart, and it's amazing when God puts something on your heart. It can be the most, it can seem the most random thing in your thinking, and yet when if it's his heart, it lines right up where we're at as a people. And I just put the term on the top of it, just generations. That I want us to know, and I believe it's God's heart that he wants us to know, that he blesses generations. That this is not just about you and me. This is about all that has to come through us and out of us in regards to generations. And that God heals the past to bring a brighter future for the next generations. He deals with the hurts and the pain of families and generational stuff that our mothers and fathers or great grannies could have been involved in, that he heals them, he heals. It's the Father's heart to heal generations to bring a brighter tomorrow for those who have to come through us. And I don't know about you, when I was a young fella, which wasn't that long ago, I could read that and I'd go, yeah, amen. But when you have children and your children have children, you view these scriptures in different ways. You view them with a long-term view of that if the Bible says that the righteous children will be great in the land, meaning those who come to know Jesus, that his plan is that now the greatness of God in some manner is shown through that generation. What will the next generations be like if they follow God? If my kids will be great in the land, what will their kids and their kids, and what's the potential of their kids being great in the land? Now it becomes a different picture. That as us who have come to know Jesus, who are maybe first generation Christians, that we open the door for the next generations to be blessed of God. We open the door for God's thoughts and God, that our kids and their kids become God conscious. David says, I'd rather be a doorman in the house of the Lord. You know why he said that? Yet to be in his presence, but also he knew he was opening up the blessing of God to go down the generations. Psalm 100 says, for the Lord is good. Amen. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations. Exodus, he says to Moses, he says, don't make an idol for yourself of any kind or image of anything in the heavens above, the earth below, or waters under the earth. You shall not bow to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I'm jealous. I'm a jealous God. I'm visiting the iniquity of the fathers, speaking about past generations, unto their children, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love, loving devotion to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. He talks about the past generations because past generations affects this generation and can continue to affect the next generations. Are you with me? What was done in your life or my life or what comes down the pike of generations visits us in these days. That can come away of sin, come away of curses, it can come away of expression of all types of things. I remember a young man says to me, not so long ago, he says, Noel, do you ever remember when your dad would chase you up the stairs with his belt wrapped around his hand and you jump into your bed and you pull the duvet over thinking that that duvet would protect you from a man's hand with a belt wrapped around it to beat you up? He says, no, I don't remember that because it never happened to me. My dad was a gentleman. But to him, he was saying it like it was normal. And this young man, his expression of this, what came through his own dad was, he gets angry all the time, but yet his brother is as quiet as a mouse because they won't open their mouth to anybody. And the sin of his father, as in the first next to him, had an expression that brought stuff into his life that he thinks he gets everything his own way by being angry and showing aggression. The sins of the Father visits in so many ways. And God says, look, I will, that will go to third and fourth generation. But my blessing will go to thousands of generations. And the blessing of God in our life is that we stand and we go, okay. See, so many of us don't want to deal with our past. So many of us like think it's too painful. Listen, it's too painful not to. It's too painful to go, oh, well, that was my dad, that was the way, and this is the way I am. That's a load of baloney. We don't have to stay the way we are, because we're given the opportunity to be new creations and to walk out into that new creation. And what does that do? It visits onto the next generations and next generations who are blessed in the land. You know when you hold, like, it's amazing you have this in your heart, and then Penny, who is now six, jumps up in my arms during worship. Well, she used to do that. I said to her, Penny, you're doing that since we first started Bray, which was before she was born. Then when she was a little one, maybe I'd take her to hold her while we're in Bray, while Rob and Patrice do the worship. And then she gets older, she'd come up and I says, she's six now, she's nearly bigger than me. So I'm like, I don't know what, I said to her, I don't know what I'm going to do when you're 22 because I look weird on you. But when you hold your next generation in your hand, so many goes, I'd do anything for her. Will you give up your pain? Oh, will you give up your sins of your fathers? Will you deal with them? Will you repent of them? Would you bring the blood of Jesus to apply to them? Yeah. That's the beauty of being the doorman. So you get to make the decision for her generation, her kids, their kids, and see what God will do in them. God says, I want to visit a blessing right down to the generations. And I'll show you in a few minutes when we're having communion how he deals with the past generation, because we all have them. Amen. There's ghosts in all of our closets. Every now and then they rattle their bones. There's a spider in every one of our webs. I'm telling you, God wants to kill the spider. He wants to tear down the web. Acts chapter 2. Holy Spirit comes. Peter preaches a great message. Someone cries out, hey, who is this for? Peter says, he said, this is how you get it. How do we get this? He says, repent. Repent. Reject that way of thinking, that way of living. And he says, because this Holy Spirit is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off. That God is promising spiritual blessing upon the generations of those who accept, repent, and accept them. Unlike spiritual inheritance, not just something of this world, which anyone that becomes a Christian, you will see that God gives them a redemption lift, that your life is different now than it was before you were a Christian. For spiritual inheritance. Myrtle was telling me, I didn't know this just before service, that her dad was a praying man, a lover of God man. He used to read the Bible to them every day. Can you not hear it in her? Can you hear that spiritual power that's in that woman when she prays? Why? Because her dad, or maybe someone before him, opened the door and says, come on, God. And then a woman prays a prayer, and all you can do is stand there with your hands open saying, Lord, I'm receiving what comes from this woman. Psalm 145 says this, listen, it says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, his greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to the other and tell of your mighty acts. They speak of your glorious splendor and majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. And we will tell of the power of your awesome work, and I will proclaim them and great deeds. He's saying this, that it's like a generation standing behind the next generation saying, God is great. This is what he done in my life. This is what he done in granddad's life. This is what he done in granny's life. This is what he's doing in your life. He's given us an instruction of saying, look, tell the next generation that the last generation doesn't have to define that you're tomorrow. That is the key to it all. Leonard Sweet said this, that Jesus is not pushing us towards our future. He's drawing us towards our future. He's saying, look what I have for you. It's not a big struggle in God's eyes going, I need to get that Noel fella past his stuff right up to where I was. He's like, he's beckoning us forward saying, come on. I have something great. I have a plan. I have a purpose for your life. And out of this, when you hear and you read through the scriptures, one of the things that happens before every breakthrough nearly in the scriptures, because I believe the scripture is a big musical at times, that you read everything they do, you have a song and a dance about it. They go into a desert and God just makes all these festivals of all these players playing out how he rescued them, how he provided for them. When they came out of the Red Sea, or through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's men was drowned, they go up on the other side of a hill. What did he do? Take out the tambourines and start singing and dancing. I'm like, in Revelations, it's all about singing. It's incredible. Nearly before every breakthrough, you'll see a song being released. We're coming up to that season. and the breakthrough of the Messiah coming, the angels cut open the heavens and start singing a song. The Messiah comes. God wants to release your song. Do you ever find at times you're singing a song that no one ever wrote before or you never heard a tune before? Don't start laughing. I came home with a great song one day and Patrice says, Paddy Casey sings that. Does he? So he wrote the same song as me. I don't know how he done that. Do you ever done your time with the Lord and you start singing a song? It could be two lines and whatever. If you haven't, get on your own with him. He'll give you a song. You start singing about your tomorrow. You start singing about your breakthrough. You start singing about the response of God of victory in your life. That he wants to put a new song before the breakthrough into the next generation. God is creating a new tomorrow for your generation. That we don't have to put up with the past of sins and allow the past sins to create our tomorrow. There was a man born in Germany in around, well, I know his date, 1517 or 1483. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther. He was a Catholic man who in his days, the Catholic Church was saying them that if you give us money, they were called indulgences, that we will pray your people out of purgatory. So it was a money spinner. That's a great one, isn't it? Like, you don't know where your granny went, she went to purgatory, give me a few bob, we'll get her out. Martin Luther took huge exception. Another doctrine was that you were saved by works, meaning you could work your way into heaven, which you can't. And Martin Luther nailed 95 statements to a church building in Gutenberg. He nailed his 95 theses to the door saying, this is why this is wrong. And what was he doing? He was saying, I'm not allowing the sins of the past of the church create a different tomorrow. That I want to put a stop to it. I want to put a halt to it. I want to protest against it. I want to proclaim that there's freedom, that you're saved by grace, through faith alone, nothing else. That you don't have to pay to get people out of hell. You can't pay to get people out of hell. And he nailed them statements to the door. And I just was thinking when I was reading this was that the statements in the scriptures that we need to nail to the doors of our lives and our families and for our futures, and we need to nail it to the past and proclaim it to the future. We need to nail that I'm forgiven, that I'm a new creation, I am loved in God, I'm accepted by God, there's a plan for my life, there's a purpose for my life, that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me, that I am going to be who God wants me to be, and the statements that we need to like Luther. Can you imagine when he was nailing them to the wall? That doesn't sound very good. Can you imagine when he was nailing them to the gate? Every statement saying, oh, there's a new tomorrow coming. Every statement saying that no, God is good. Every statement having an effect on the church, so much on the church, he was brought before the Pope, and the Pope says, you need to obey us. He says, I'm left with a dilemma. I obey you or I obey God. I'm obeying God. He nailed the statement. He changed the future of the church. He changed the future of everything that we do because one man says, I am not allowing the sins of the past to dictate what our future should be. He hears a man one day walking up the street. And he's blind with his stick, and he hears the click, 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 click of the stick. And he hears the man quoting scripture. And Luther says, he had an idea. He says, people are not going to remember my 95 statements in the thesis. So we start putting them to a song and to music because of the click. A song always comes before the breakthrough. He wanted the great songs he writes is, a mighty fortress is my God. Because he hears a man, he's saying, look, this is who my God is, and I'm declaring it to the generations. He says, I'm not allowing the past to dictate the future. One more, do you remember Rosa Parks? She was the black lady that refused to give up her seat. She refused to allow the sins of the past generation to dictate what a future generation could be. And sometimes it's not about making huge statements to a wall, but sometimes it's just refusing to move. Refusing to give in to that again. Refusing to be dictated to by past statements of people's past judgments over you and over your next generations. She just wouldn't get up. Dignity said, no, I'm not getting up. Her dignity wouldn't allow her. No matter what she got put up with, she says, I'm not going to get up off this seat. It's your sins, Mr. White Man. It's not going to create a future for my kids. She gets fined. Something like $4. $15 she got fined and $4 for court charges. She appeals it. A new minister is in town in the local Baptist church. They make him part of the campaign to protest against it. They roll out Martin Luther King. He heads up something. He says, "Now I have a dream of a better tomorrow for the generations." See, God, you read Acts chapter 2, he puts dreams into the hearts of his children. Your sons and daughters, they will have visions and dreams. And Martin Luther had a dream of a future, and he refused to allow the past to dictate what that future would look like. You remember his statement, don't you? "I have a dream. I have a dream." God puts a dream in your heart so that tomorrow can be better. Amen? She refused. Let me just finish. It's a bit much. Will we allow God to put the new song in our hearts? Because something in you is a doorway for God into your generations. Some of us have kids, and some of us are not maybe proud of how we've raised our kids up to this point. Can I tell you the blood of Jesus can go all the way back? All the way back. Can guys give out the elements? All the way back. The blood of Jesus. How do we break this stuff? How do we say, "I'm not going to go, this is not going to go from me to the next generations"? If you haven't given your life to Jesus, that's the way you stop it. You stop the next generations being downtrodden, being treated in the way that you've been treated. Thank you, John. You stop it. Imagine your children's children's children looking back and saying, doing that family tree. And you look down and you see all the brokenness and sin and damage and everything. And don't get me wrong, it's not just about someone getting beaten. What about the greedy ones that's in our generations? And it manifests in their life as someone who will do anything for money. And their children look back and go, "Hey, my great-great-great-great Uncle Noel was a horse thief." I wasn't really. I'm from Dalton's Barn. It was cars. But say I was a horse thief. And then they look down and they go, "Well, what happened? His son." Because they were different. And the tree is coming like this, and this was all down the tree, and then a branch comes out. And this generation is different. Because little Nolly accepted Jesus. And a new branch begins. And then the tree, a branch of righteousness begins from his children and their children, right down to that generation. That's how you stop the rot. That's how you stop the curse. You ask Jesus into your life. If you haven't, this is a day to do that. If you haven't, this is the way that you stop. The second is Daniel in the Bible. When he realized, Daniel chapter 9, he realized about the sins of his forefathers. He couldn't name them all, but he says this, "Lord, I repent. Forgive my forefathers of what they've done. They've sinned against you. They've gone after other gods." What was he doing? He was breaking off the power of that curse. Revelation says this, that the blood of Jesus, you can hold on to the elements, we're going to do it all together, that the blood of Jesus goes all the way back to Egypt and Sodom. Like, wow, what's he trying to say there? Goes all the way back. Sure, was Jesus not born and lived and died way after all of that? Hebrews tells us the blood of Jesus is eternal. Meaning, you can go all the way back and all the way forward. Because their sins was in his future. Are you with me? The blood of Jesus can go all the way back and be applied to those broken branches, those sinful curses. How do we apply it? Like we applied it to our life. Blood was always there, but it was until I recognized it and accepted his sacrifice was when it was applied to me. Are you with me? So we apply the blood. We stand here in this premise of history. And we're looking back and saying, "Lord, I repent of my sins and my forefathers. those who have sinned against you in my generations. I pray that the power of all that sin be broken by the blood of Jesus. You just speak to God yourself. He knows. It doesn't matter about the rhetoric. It doesn't matter about the language. Lord, I break off addiction. I break off greed. I cancel out lust. Lust for power. I cancel out, Lord God, that brokenness. I apply the blood to the wounds that was inflicted upon me by fathers and mothers for generations. I break it off today in the name of Jesus. Can we stand? Because we're not only applying it to the past, but we're also proclaiming it to the future. That my life, here and now, brings change to the tomorrows of others. And that God promised that he would visit with devoted love, his love to 1,000 generations. So we can stand and look to the future and say that your tomorrows is bright. Your tomorrows are being ordained by God in love for you and your children and their children. And you can stand and proclaim because of the blood of Jesus that there's revival in your future. That there's revival in your family. That your children, even who are far off today, you can start calling them back into your family line, into your family inheritance in Christ Jesus. Take a moment to do that. Just let your voice be heard. Don't wait on anyone else. Just let your prayer be heard before God. Lord, I break off, but Lord, I proclaim. I proclaim into the generations that have to come through me. Maybe not even through you as an individual, meaning your seed, but those who you will birth into the kingdom spiritually. Those who you have influenced, nephews, nieces, people in your workplace. I speak blessing. I speak revival. The blood of Jesus can be summed up in 3 things. Forgiveness. You need forgiveness. Receive it in Jesus' name. The Bible says, John 1:9, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Father, forgive me and cleanse me. There's deliverance in the blood of Jesus. Read Exodus. Picture of what was to be done. Protection. Nearness of God. Lord, you said, do this in remembrance of you. All that you've done, Lord, to remember what was accomplished by you, Jesus, coming to earth. We take this bread, Lord, and we receive it, Lord. And we receive all that you achieved for us. We receive healing in our bodies. We receive healing for the generations. We receive freedom, Lord, for the future generations. We take this bread, Lord, in remembrance of Jesus, and we receive all that you have for us as we take it right now. All that you achieved on the cross, Lord. And we take this cup, Lord, and we take a moment to receive forgiveness, to judge our own sin and ask for forgiveness so that we take this in a worthy manner. The way to do it, according to Corinthians, is we judge our own sin and ask for forgiveness. Judge yourselves, that's what he says. So Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Reward taught and deed, O God. Every lack, Lord God. We ask for forgiveness. We receive forgiveness. And we take this cup, Lord, with thanksgiving. We say, Lord, thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus goes all the way back to break and bring healing and deliverance. And we take it with the knowledge, O God, that you've created a new future. We take it together in Jesus' name. And we receive, Father, all that the body and blood of Jesus accomplished for us. Would you put your hand on the shoulder of someone beside you? We thank you, Father, that you're into generations. We thank you, Father, that you want to bless. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, in these days, Lord, that you would return the hearts of the children to their fathers and mothers, O God. You return the hearts of the mothers and fathers to the children, O God. Pray, Father, that those who are not in the kingdom yet, you'd bring them in, Lord, in this next year, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that those who are far off, that we just plead the blood, Father, and apply the blood. The blood of Jesus, the Bible says, brings us near to God. So we apply the blood to them and we say, come near to God this year. We thank you, Father, for the plans and future that you have for our generations. And we declare over them that they will be great in the land. That they will be used by God. They will know God. They will love God and serve God. They will bring others to God and they will make God known. Lord, we pray over one another, Lord God. Now, Father, those of us, oh God, which I believe is probably all of us nearly, who have been door openers into the next generations, oh God, just pray strength onto that brother or sister. Just pray that God would keep us. God would protect us. God would deliver us. God would keep on using us to bring generations to know him. Pray for their generation. Pray, Lord, bless them. Bless them, Lord, and all who have to come. Bless their children. Father, bless their children with health. Bless their children with wealth. Bless their children with great friends. Bless their children spiritually, Lord, that from a young age that they would know the things of the Holy Spirit. Lord, release words of knowledge right now in prophecy. This is your inheritance, saints. Just release. Lord, you're going to have pictures now. Maybe scriptures will come to your mind right now and start telling that other person, hey, maybe this is what God is saying. Pray over them. Not like Rosa Parks. We will not be moved. We will not be moved. So I pray over each one of us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes his face to shine upon you. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon each one of us. And he grants us shalom. We say amen, Lord.